sisters and brothers, because we don't want to belabor the time, our church here, of course, has a schedule. We don't want to offend it. If I might be so bold, ask those that are sitting in the rear, come on into this area on this side, and we'll just have our meeting on this side, so that we'll be blessed and able to communicate as families. Sisters, come on up. As always, every important event in our lives will begin by calling the aid, the assistance, and the guidance of the Almighty. That being said, when you're seated, you'll bow your heads and join me in prayer. Let us pray. In the name of God, the benevolent, the merciful, all praise belongs to God, the Lord of the worlds, the benevolent, the merciful master of this day of judgment. Be we serve, be we seek for help, guide us on the right path. The path of those upon whom our lives are still faithful, not the path of those upon whom the wrath is brought down, nor of those who go astray. O Allah, we thank you for this great day. As you have declared in Scripture, that when we are gathered together in unity, that this is a marvelous day and is marvelous in your eyes. We thank you for this blessing to stand for justice, and we thank you for this opportunity to love the people that you have declared that we should love, that we should love one another even as you have loved us. And out of our love for you, we stand for the people and we stand for justice. It's in the names of your righteous servants that we pray, from Moses to Abraham to Jesus to Muhammad. In your righteous names we pray and say together, Amen. Sisters and brothers, without any further delay, I'd like to bring before you one of our helpers in this great cause for justice, our sister that has made it her point to mark in her schedule every opportunity to stand for what is right, good, and proper. Our sister, who I don't believe missed a single day of the Mesolimbic preliminary hearing, so please join me and give them a round of applause for the sacrifice, concern, and love of our sister, the Reverend Dr. Ramona Casa.
Good afternoon to all of you. I'm not going to take a lot of time to talk to you, but I just wanted to say a few words of encouragement to remind you that the summer is almost over, and it's time for us to start rallying the crowd. And we understand that the journey is one in which you generally don't stop. You got to keep pressing on.
That's right.
But we also know the human needs of each of us. And some are upon us, children and responsibilities. But if we would take the time over the next couple of weeks to begin to plant the seed of recollection in everyone's mind that the Oscar Grant case is not resolved.
That's right.
That there is an expectation that we are going to disappear because the preliminary hearing is over. And that we will perceive wrongly that since we won the preliminary hearing, that there's no other battle in the area of Oscar Grant. But we know that that trial is supposed to take place sometime in the fall, October?
October is expected date.
Okay. Chances are that won't be the date, but if it is the date, we still have a couple of battles to deal with before that date comes forward, not the least significant of which is the whole issue of venue. Where would the trial be held? And so we don't want that date to creep up on us and not have our troops mobilized.
That's right.
I hear from Sister Wandy's brother, who I'm sure will speak to you himself at some point in time today, that the family is doing well, they are remaining of good courage, and they are doing the things that they need to do in order to continue to heal. But our job is not over. How many of you seated here today consider yourselves activists? somebody standing for what kind of solidarity over there? Any activists back there? Including the one using the cell phone or the activists back there? I like it, yes. And we have to press like that. And you've got to look to the left, look to the right, look in front of you, wherever you are, at home, in your neighborhoods, at church, at school, in stores. You've got to talk it up. On the street, parties, talk it up. I'm amazed how many people don't know the name Oscar Grant. I was in Las Vegas about 3 weeks ago at the National Medical Association Convention, and that's the organization of all African-American physicians in the United States, Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico. And we have an annual meeting every summer where we do our continuing medical education, and we network around issues that are important to communities of color. And I had several presentations to make before our scientific assembly. And on Wednesday of the last day of the convention, in the psychiatry section that was done in collaboration with the community health section and the women's health section, I did a presentation on the impact of violence on the individuals, the families, and the community in the area of post-traumatic stress. And I was invited to do that presentation so I could bring forth the case study of Oscar Grant. And the response, first of all, the conference was well attended. There were about 200 physicians present. Maybe about half of them had heard about the Oscar Grant case. But in the audience was Dr. David Satcher, who was the former Surgeon General of the United States. And his presentation was to follow mine. And I went through my presentation as efficiently as I could, wanting to honor the fact that he was coming behind me, and he offered an additional 10 minutes of his time to make certain that this community of professionals sought to really pay enough attention to the subject matter and the manner in which this community responded to the Oscar Grant shooting. And I wanted to share that with you because we are grassroots activists. And I call myself a grassroots activist even though I'm a physician. I think it's a matter of the heart, not so much your mind. But the doctors who stay in their examining rooms and wear their white coats and are removed from the community and its challenges because they're busy doing patient care oftentimes miss the most important injuries that are happening to their patients, the things that are challenging them in the community. And we really wanted to make certain that not only the shooting of Oscar Grant, but the response of the community to the shooting be lifted up among physicians who have to go about addressing issues of illness. And why do our people come into the office sad looking, sad acting, depressed, forlorn, in a state of despair, eating foods that they shouldn't eat, drinking things they shouldn't drink, living lifestyles that they shouldn't, and we wonder why aren't they moving forward. And if they don't make the connection with what's going on in their daily lives and the challenges that they are having to live with, then it makes it difficult for us to be effective as doctors. And so it was very well received. And there were several people who asked whether or not I would share with them the strategy that the community used to come together to support families who had experienced this sort of assault because they too were experiencing it. Now that may not seem terribly important to you, but it's important for us to mobilize every possible support base to add to the strength of our numbers. And so we can't turn up our noses at the doctors, the lawyers, and the Indian chiefs in the name of just harvesting the grassroots. Everybody is important to get them on our side.
Right.
So that's a very important piece I wanted to share with you. And then secondly, and finally, Minister and I and others in a close group have had the privilege of visiting with the family of Brownie Townsend Pope, as Minister shared last week. And I know that he's going to talk about it a little bit more. We've been to the funeral, we've met with the family, we've had several conversations with the family, and I was just sharing with them here that there's such a similarity between the Brownie Folk family and the Oscar Grant family. They love the Lord. They are clean in their thoughts about doing righteousness. They don't have a sense of hatefulness toward anybody, but they are about justice. And they're very poised about it, but they put the Lord first. And I do believe that the reason why we have been so successful thus far is because the Grant family, as I shared in the conference in Las Vegas, helped to set the pace for us as community. Because we said there were so many factions among us who were wanting to do our thing, but we all respected the Grant family, and they helped to set the pace that we not promote violence and outrageous misconduct in the name of justice. And so I think that we're going to find some great synergy between these two families. There is going to be a prayer vigil in 2 weeks, not this Tuesday, but the following. That's going to be in the parking lot of the Eastmont Mall, adjacent to the police station. And that prayer vigil is going to be for Brownie Hope. And we've chosen that location because theoretically it's safe. Police are already there, so we don't have to worry about them showing up. And we will get whatever permit is necessary. There will be prayer, and there will be speaking, public speaking, around the issues of social justice. There will be a link that will connect the Oscar Grant case to this case, as well as two other cases that I know Minister will speak of today. But we are drawing them all together, and we are identifying the pattern and the practice of law enforcement in the Bay Area, whether they're BART police or OPD, in using excessive force in a situation where whatever was warranted,
right,
lying on the victim,
right,
and then fabricating police reports,
right,
and then
right,
getting to the press and trying to demonize the victim.
That's right. Come on.
That's the pattern, and that's the practice.
That's right.
And so we now have two additional cases to add to the letter that is still being crafted to the Justice Department,
right,
that speaks about this pattern and practice. And so that's the update, that's the report I have for you today. I'm going to turn the mic back over to Minister. Thank you.